Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Red Sox fans, here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm really impressed with myself because inevitably one of these times I'm going to be like, welcome to another episode of the Benny and the Betts podcast, and then, you know, flub it. And at that point, I would probably start over. But anyway, awkward start to the show. And while I'm at it, I'm terrible at doing this. If you guys haven't given us a rate and review yet on Apple Podcasts, please do it. It helps us immensely. It helps our metrics on Apple Podcasts, makes us a lot more visible. Feel free to make fun of us, especially Charlie, whatever. And it's better than currency, and it helps us out immensely. Tonight on this episode, we're going to be talking mostly Red Sox bullpen. We're all going to make our pick as to who the closer should be in the ninth inning. And then we're going to do a little process of elimination all the way down the list on who should be in the bullpen, who shouldn't and should be in Pawtucket, and so on and so forth. We might throw in some bonus topics towards the end. Joining me tonight, Charlie Smith, Andrew Dwan. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Doing great. I'm looking forward to the heat that I'm going to be getting from people, so this should be fun.
Well, send some of the heat that my way, because it's like -5 in Denver and has been since Friday. So definitely could use a little warming up here.
You deserve it. I think Terry wins.
-5 was me last Tuesday when it was 60 for you. So
yeah, I'm just waiting for one of these pipes to burst and having to call the landlord up and have to go through all that.
Yeah. Not now. I hope not. Jeez Louise.
That's terrible. You need a sump pump at that point. But anyway, the team, however, is in nice weather down in Fort Myers. I think most of them are probably down there, and if they're not, they will be within the next few days. But getting right into it, Charlie, I'll lead off with you. There's at least two viable candidates, maybe a third candidate to be the closer. If the season started tomorrow, provided that nobody sucks miserably in spring training, who is your closer for the ninth inning?
You know, this is kind of going to be a unique season. I know some people are going to say, give it to Matt Barnes. And I would say, I don't know about Matt Barnes. And there are going to be some that say, well, you know what? You just traded for Adam Ottavino. Give it to Adam Ottavino. But my pick has always been, if I have to stick with one person there, I still want Darwinson Hernandez to be the closer, even though I know it's not going to be him. I'm thinking what the Red Sox will do is they will give him an opportunity to get some safe chances, but they will go with the safe hand, which is Matt Barnes right now. And that's to be determined, because I personally think that the Red Sox are going to get one more reliever. I don't think it's officially done yet. And then when that happens, that could change things again. But right now, I think what will happen and what I want to happen are two completely different things.
So who is your closer, though, just to be clear?
I want to see Darwinson Hernandez get the chance to do it. That's what I would want to see.
Fair
Give
enough.
Him a chance.
Fair enough. Andrew, who would you slot into that inning?
I would love to see Hernandez take over that role. Definitely on record many times saying that, but I do think it's going to be Barnes. I think he's going to get the first shot at it just due to history with Cora, with the team. Just the familiarity. Just he's going to get the ball in the ninth inning in spring training, and it's going to be his job to lose. I do think Ottavino is definitely a candidate, but I just don't see them wanting to push him at this stage of his career. He's definitely not the youngest guy on the team. So I think they'll want to save some bullets for later on in the year, and they'll go with Matt Barnes just right out of the gate. And I agree with you, Charlie. I do think we might see one more guy brought in. I don't know if it's going to be a minor league free agent level, but there's still some relievers out there like Workman, Trevor Rosenthal, who probably will be priced out of their range, and a Jeffress. But I would love to see one of those three guys in here.
You know, Terry's sitting there like, why the hell are they agreeing again? Like, what the fuck is happening? I don't want them to agree all the time. So Andrew and I usually, we have very interesting opinions, and sometimes it's completely on the opposite end of the spectrum of like what we like and what we don't like. And the last couple of shows, we've been on par, like with just about everything, what we think is going to happen, what we want to happen, and what we think could possibly happen in addition. The one person that you didn't mention is someone who played for the Red Sox last year that got traded, and it wouldn't surprise me because of that familiarity that they bring him back again.
I think Workman would be the cheapest.
Bingo.
Of all of them, and there is the familiarity aspect. But
exactly.
I do kind of differ from you guys, because we're going to go through the list here, and it's an immense list, and there's also going to be depth in Worcester, which is still taking me some getting used to saying, but I just feel like if we're that close to the cap, how close do they really want to be? I just feel like they're going to need some cushion, and they have that now. And if you go get another arm, you're going to have to maybe trade away a piece that is making, I don't know, 3 to 6 million or so. And I hate the fact right now that they gave Matt Andrees a $3 million deal. I mean, at this point, it's just making less and less sense. And the upside isn't there. He wasn't very good in Tampa. And if you're going to be good somewhere, it would probably be in Tampa, because they do have one of the better pitching programs in the league. But we'll get into this in just a second a little more. But my pick, and it's funny because we've all differed so far. You know, we've got Barnes so far. We've got Hernandez. I want to go with Hernandez, but I think it's going to be Adam Ottavino. I really do. And I've said multiple times so far, it makes me nervous, you know, when runners get on, because his delivery is so slow that he is prone to having them steal. And that does make me a little nervous. But of anyone in that bullpen right now, he's the only one who's ever done it for a full season and been solid from start to finish. With Barnes, he could go on a nice little run, but he's probably going to fall off the cliff and suck for a few weeks. I think, like Charlie says, I think Hernandez could be the guy. He just, 2020 was weird. He had the COVID thing, and the season before, 2019, they still thought he might be a starter at that point. So he hasn't really had a solid plan for him coming into the season. And I think the dude has a lot of swagger, you know, in that relief role when he's on. But I think it's going to be Adam Ottavino at this point. Thoughts, either one?
Yeah. Ottavino is not a bad selection. I mean, that's the thing, is I've talked to a couple people, and it's going to be, I mean, what I want to happen is give Hernandez, give him the opportunity to earn it, but it is going to be Matt Barnes's to lose. Why? He's been on the team the longest. He's literally done multi roles in the bullpen. Why wouldn't you give it to that guy? Adam Ottavino, not a bad option, but I am curious as far as left-handed, because is Ottavino righty or lefty? He's a lefty, right?
Ottavino's a righty.
Yeah.
Is he a righty? Okay. For some reason, I thought he was a lefty. Okay, so Ottavino, yeah, who's been on the team for 6 minutes, not familiar with anything in Boston. If you were to give him the chance to be closer, it would not be immediately. Because as Andrew and I already said, Matt Barnes more familiar. They're going to give him a chance. Ryan Brazier is going to get some chances too, because he's done it already before as well. It's Matt Barnes' role to lose. As it currently stands, this is his chance to shine. And who knows how many opportunities they're going to be getting. We have no idea what this offense is going to do. There may be like 4 save chances in 3 weeks. Who knows? There could be 12. Who knows? Like, I think there's going to be a lot of saves for the Red Sox. I think almost every single win that they get is going to be a save opportunity, because they're not going to be blowing any teams out of the water. There's going to be a lot of saves to go around, but Ottavino, not a bad option either.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Awful, it's going to be a by committee thing. And I don't think Cora's worried about that. And I'm not worried about Cora managing the bullpen. Everything I've ever seen him do with the bullpen, I've been a fan of. So I have complete faith in him to go with the odd hand. And I think he has the backing of his team to trust him on that. I don't think we're going to see any malcontents. There aren't too many large egos in that bullpen. None of these guys have done it for 5 years before. Now they're coming over to the team and it's like, I don't really want to be a seventh inning guy. We don't have any of those. So yeah, I think Barnes and Ottavino, you're top two. Hernandez might be just a little more valuable, being able to go 2 innings if need be. And he's between him and Taylor, those are your only lefties too. So if you need to bring them in situationally, that's not always going to be a save opportunity in the ninth inning. You might need to burn them in the sixth or seventh, depending on the game.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, because if you're going to play matchups, you're going to need a lefty in a certain situation. I guess it could be, open to interpretation, closer by committee to start with. Maybe their spring training performances down the stretch could ultimately be the decider. But it's just, there's no obvious solution at this point, regardless. And all no. three of us differed, 1, 2, 3. So, for the listening audience, if you're on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, just go ahead and give your thoughts on who you think it could be. I'm going to have a hot take right now, though, before we get into the rest of it. I think by the end of the season, Ryan Brazier is going to have a better year than Matt Barnes. That's my hot take.
I don't think that's too hot. No, I could buy that. I
actually do buy that, too.
Brazier looked great at the end of, near the end of the year. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if one of these guys who's pitching well, if they don't flip him, because as we're going to go over later, they have some pretty solid depth throughout both levels, major and triple A. So if you could move one of them for a spot starter, or if they need a bat coming off the bench, that move might be there to be made.
If we're lucky, it's always a good problem to have, to have too many. Charlie, do you have another thought?
Yeah, no. I mean, Brazier's also been pretty consistent for the most part, too. When you looked at Adam Ottavino, you saw someone who, for the most part, was incredibly consistent. I think he's had, 10? How many saves is – I have to look it up. Ottavino's career saves numbers. But not a good year last year. His ERA was really not pleasant, not something to look – not fun.
In his defense, it was only two bad outings last year.
Yeah, Toronto
showed fair enough. Oh, actually, yeah. He did get destroyed in one of those games.
6 runs against Toronto. And then
Buffalo was a weird one.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe there would have been an opportunity for that number to come down. But who's to say that, he only played 24 games last year. Who's to say he wouldn't have gotten shelled another 3, 4, 5, 6 times? We'll never know. Like, sure, we could say, oh, those were outlying performances, but I don't remember Ryan Brazier getting shelled for 6 runs.
Well, I mean, I just think you kind of still have to take him at face value for now.
Right.
And I'll say this. I mean, the bullpen was not really a concern of mine. Could you always use an upgrade? Yeah, absolutely. But it still surprises me that, you know, we're spending $9 million roughly on a reliever when maybe you could have had a slightly better upgrade somewhere else, whether it was a starter or an outfield bat. You know, I'm still a little surprised, but I mean, at the end of the day, are we a better team because we got Ottavino? Yeah, we are. But
yeah, I don't think that's a question, because if you look online, you read it what Yankees fans are saying and what some of the even some of the players are saying, like it like Yankees fans are pretty sad that Ottavino is actually in Boston. And that, I think, is a testament to him. Like, Ottavino was well liked, caused no problems. You know, was still, he said some things that were a little sometimes outlandish, but I mean, what player hasn't, you know? And I think it says a lot when Yankees players and fans both say, oh man, it's going to suck when we have to face him. That makes me feel a little bit better. You know, this year is not going to have too many like highlights. That's a highlight. I'll take it.
Yeah. And if something happens to Britton or maybe him or Chapman just aren't super stout and Ottavino's just lighting it up in Boston, I mean, I can't wait to watch the meltdowns that happen amongst Yankee fans. And what did they do after that trade? I mean, they didn't bring back Gardner like some of us were suspecting.
They got a Wilson today. They signed Justin Wilson.
Right.
I think for $3 million.
Nothing exactly. Right.
But they still have, I was looking at it this morning, they had about nine and change. And if he got three today, they still have $6 million. That's probably a few million of that going to Gardy, because they have to bring him back. I think they just optic wise, they have to bring him back.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see Gardner playing for a different team. If that were to happen, I mean, how many years has he been in New York?
I mean, his whole career.
Yeah.
Right.
He was on the 09 team when they won that championship. Yeah. And I think Ottavino, regardless of what role he ends up, you know, playing, he's going to be fired up, I think. Like, he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. You know, the Yankees traded me. Watch this. And I think you're going to see a really nasty slider and maybe not quite as solid as 2019, but I think he's going to have a mid to lower threes ERA, maybe upper twos if we're really lucky. And I'm looking forward to it. Getting, you know, into the rest of it. So let's kind of narrow it down. I'll just go through them all one by one. We've already talked about Ottavino, Hernandez, and Barnes. So they're in the bullpen. They'll be pitching a lot of the higher leverage in the later innings. Is Josh Taylor 100% safe?
I think he is. As I mentioned, you have very limited selection of left-handed arms in there. So I think by default, he pretty much makes it.
Charlie
agreed. And while last year was super ugly, I couldn't remember if Ottavino was there, but outside of Taylor Hernandez, that's it. Like, that's all your lefties.
Exactly.
The Red Sox for a while had a left-handed rotation when they had, you know, David Price, Drew Pomeranz. Oh my God. I just don't even want to remember like the names that were there at the time, but it was, just lefty, 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 lefty. It was brutal to watch. Brutal.
Pomeranz killed it last year, though, I think in San Diego.
Yeah, he did great.
In one inning of work limit. Like, I'm not blown away by that.
Well, he was into the month of September, I think, before he gave up a run, if he even did.
Yeah, I think he had an ERA in the low ones.
Yeah.
It was, like, below 1.5.
I don't think I'm going off the rails with this, but I think he gets too much grief from Red Sox fans because everybody forgets how stout he was in 2017. Like, nobody had a problem that he was the number two starter going into the playoffs. He was pitching very well. And
that's the thing. Like, he had one good year. It's an it's a statistical anomaly. He never won more than eight games in any other season. He went from ten wins. One of the seasons, that was the year before when he got traded. He had 11 wins that year, 3 with Boston, 8 with San Diego, 17 the following year. Since then, 5 wins, 3 years, 5.
Well, I think 2016 was his first full year as a starter. He was more of a spot starter, long relief guy prior to that. So you're not going to see a lot of wins in that case. But he did fall off the map in 2018 with some injuries and just never got it together. The closest he got to pitching in the postseason was warming up in the bullpen in that 18 inning game, but Evaldi gave it up in the 18th. But I just feel like 2017 was good. And I mean, we lose the division if he isn't, if he's only 80% that good. Regardless, that's my going off the tracks moment. So we've got 4 guys that are safe. So we're going to work our way down the list here. It looks like 9 is the magic number. There's a 26th player on the roster. We haven't had that for a full season yet. And last year was super funky. I think we had 30 man rosters, because of the COVID situation. So like I said, we're going to get it to 9. We've got 4 that are safe. I think we can all agree that Ryan Brazier is safe.
Yep, that's a lock.
Absolutely. Yeah, Brazier's definitely on there.
Yep. So that's 5. So it does kind of get a little trickier after this. We're going to have to say that Hirokazu Sawamura, we're going to have to come up with a nickname for him. He's probably safe.
He's absolutely. Oh, my God, yeah.
And just
he's in there.
Something I'm not clear on. Does he have options at all? Like, is that worked into his?
They haven't finished the deal yet.
So it's 2 years, $3 million. 2 years, $3 million with an opportunity for 3 years and a grand total of $7.65 million.
Correct.
So that's what it could extend to if it goes the full time. If he busts after year one, guess what? Average annual value of that contract is $1.5 million each year. Average. That is totally worth the risk. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's.
I'm totally fine.
It's very inconsequential.
Agreed.
So I guess that's going to be worth checking on in the coming days to see if he does have options, because that would obviously give us, some flexibility there. But we'll put him in the safe category. So that brings us up to 6. So yep. I'm just trying to go.
Austin Bryce is gone.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. There's no need for him. You got Adam Ottavino on there. He wasn't on the team last year. You're not desperate for right-handed pitchers. Austin Bryce's ERA was at 6. I mean, yeah, he had a decent K9, but that's not all. That's not all about it. Like, if you're giving up a hit an inning and you're giving up a walk, not every inning, but pretty damn close, it's too much damage. I mean, that's why your ERA is so trash. You can't afford it. If you pull up his numbers right now, he averaged almost a hit an inning, a strikeout an inning, but he walked too many guys. That's why his ERA was 6. I mean, you can't live on that. You can't do it. And I bet you if you send him down to Worcester, his ERA is probably going to be 4.5. It's not going to be much better. He's not, it's just not on the cards for this kid.
I'm not going to disagree that he's a candidate to not make it on opening day, but I do kind of like that, funky delivery he has. I don't know if you can call it a submarine delivery, I can't.
Yeah, I wouldn't be willing to say he's not on the roster, but if they do make another signing, that's when I think it could spell trouble for him and he might be in the unemployment line.
Yeah, I would just like to see Dave Bush work with him a little more before, you know, deciding one way or the other, you know, whether he's going to Worcester or if he's just straight up DFA'd. I mean, he's been around a while, so it's not like...
Spring training's going to be huge for him. Yeah, that's going to be his whole entire career, essentially, in the coming month.
Right. So we'll kind of set him off to the side for a moment anyway. Let's talk about Garrett Whitlock. And Andrew, I'll kind of lean on you more with him because I know we got him in the Rule 5 draft, but I'm otherwise not overly familiar.
Well, yeah, that guarantees him his spot unless they want to return him to the Yankees. So
he can't be optioned?
No, he can't.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to keep him up for the entire year. That's why like a guy like Aruz last year was up there the entire year. They would have had to offer him back for like, I think like $50,000 or something like that.
Okay, good to know. So what would his status be, or is it up in the air?
He's a lock. He'll be a long reliever, just one of those long guys and spot starters when you need him.
So you think in the safe category?
Yeah, unless he comes out and has an ERA like 10 plus in spring training, but I don't see that being a thing.
All right, so we got two more spots with four likely candidates. We can get into some dark horse candidates beyond them in a minute. But so let's just try to give two spots to four guys. So we got Matt Andres, who we gave a $3 million contract to, and I think there might have been an option on that as well. Austin Bryce, just talked about him. And then we've got Phillips Valdez and Colton Brewer. So, Charlie, pick two guys. Brewer, Valdez, Bryce, Andres. Muted.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sorry. So two guys of that group of four. You got Valdez, Andres, Bryce, and who was the fourth one?
Brewer. Colton Brewer.
Bryce, goodbye. Thanks for coming. Do not pass go. Do not click $200. Go directly to Monopoly reference for you kids listening. Valdez stays. I really, really liked him. I was high on him last year. He was my hero multiple times during a couple of series and whatnot. You just paid Andres $3 million. What's Brewer getting this year?
Probably around $1 million, I would guess.
And how did Brewer do in high leverage situations?
Well, he was used as an opener for the most part, and he was actually pretty solid last year compared to the previous year.
But he got shelled too. Like he was used as an opener, and if they're going to go with the multi-versatility aspect, Andres can do it, so can he. You're paying Brewer $1 million, you're paying Andres $3 million. Why not use the guy for $3 million, see what happens? Worst comes to worst, bye. I'd say right now it's Brewers to lose, but I think that there's a reason why they signed Matt Andres. So it'll be, what I want to happen and
Valdez
what I think will happen.
And Andres.
I think that's what's going to end up happening, yeah.
All right, Andrew, two guys from those four. Who do you think?
Yeah, you can write Andres' name in Sharpie. He's absolutely going to be on the roster. They targeted him for a reason. They do like his Statcast numbers. He'll be a guy that you can also slot into as a starter, as a reliever. And I think that people are a little down on it just because he wasn't a regular name. But I think he can be a valuable asset to the team, and he's definitely going to be able to give you reliable innings, like 10 times better than what we saw last year with some of those long guys and spot starters and openers. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to him pitching this year. So I'm giving him the spot. And I want to say Valdez, but now we're looking at almost too many long guys. I loved what he brought last year, but his numbers were a little deceiving when it came to like whip and letting some guys on base. So I wouldn't be opposed to letting him get some innings in Worcester because he does have options. We can send him down there. I'm giving that, God, I almost want an asterisk here, to Bryce slash the guy that they DFA Bryce for. I went off.
All right. I guess for me, I have to agree whether I like him or not that Andres is going to make the big club because, you know, like Charlie said, you're not going to send a guy you're giving $3 million bucks to Pawtucket or Worcester. And does he even have options? I don't think he necessarily
Andres?
Does. Yeah.
Let me look it up.
Yeah.
Matt Andres has two. He has one option left.
Oh, one option. Okay.
He has one left.
Well, either way, I still, yes, sir. I, you know, barring an injury or just something happening in spring training, I'm going to slot him in as safe as well. So that's the one guy we all definitely agree with. And you know what? As boring as it is, I'm going to agree with Andrew, and I'm going to put Austin Bryce on the big club. So Andrew and I are leaving Valdez and Brewer down in Worcester. Charlie likes Valdez, and but not Bryce. So that's really the difference between the three of us. So this is the bullpen, just to kind of recap: Ottavino, Hernandez, Barnes, Taylor, Salamura, Brazier, Andres, and Bryce. If you're going with the majority, if Charlie gets his way, Valdez could be on the big league roster. So Brewer's definitely out. None of us think he's going to make it right away. I will say this about Valdez, though. He did show flashes of it, and Christian Vasquez last season was asked who he was the most impressed with out of the bullpen last year, and Phillips Valdez was his answer. So, you know, Vasquez is impressed, and I want to see more, and I think it's just going to be a matter of time before he does get called up. Somebody's just not going to be pitching well, and they're going to find their way down in Worcester, or an injury will happen, and that's how he'll come up. But it's a lot easier.
Does anyone remember, though, Valdez had a sub-1 ERA before the Toronto series? He just got shelled. Toronto destroyed him. And I remember that. Everyone's like, oh, they need to send him down. I was like, hold up, wait a minute. Because if you look at him the whole rest of the season, he had a really good year. He had a really good season for someone who's how old is Valdez? Like what, 21?
No, he's actually up there.
29. Excuse me. 29. I thought he was like a kid. That's right. He is older. But like, it's two games. If we're talking about like outliers, or you know, like Ottavino had two really crap games, why would we send this kid down if he had two bad games? If the same thing goes for him, he strikes out a lot of people. The walk numbers are kind of ugly, but he can definitely, I feel like you need to give him a chance. He's earned it.
Well, he had two bad games in a row to start the month of September, September 3rd. Yeah, against both. That was the Toronto series. So he got tuned up there, and I don't think Toronto is going to be any worse this year. You know, they added Springer. That could be a pretty robust lineup. So hopefully they don't end up being his boogeyman. He did get.
But look at what he did against the Yankees. He shut them down. He pieced New York. He sat them down. 2 2/3, 3 strikeouts, 3 hits, no walks. An inning, 2 strikeouts. Another inning, a walk, 2 strikeouts. Like, dude, this guy's the truth. This is the type of person you want to have in your bullpen when you're facing one of the better teams in your division. I don't know if I could say the best team, but I mean, come on. That's me though.
Let's see. August 29th through September 5th was the bad part of his season. He was either giving up runs or almost multiple walks per appearance. And he was, I think, used for more than three outs on, well, actually, no, he wasn't. Well, a couple of times in August he was, actually.
Yeah, I got nothing wrong, nothing against him being on the team, but I wouldn't trust him in anything more than like a sixth inning. He's not a guy I'm trotting down in the eighth.
Well, I don't think
he would. No.
Yeah.
Not yet. Let him earn it. Once he earns it, give him the chance and see what he can do with it. I don't expect Valdez to be thrown into a save opportunity. There's just, you know, there's no way. But I think if he continues to do well, he continues to earn it. I could see seventh inning possible, eighth inning opportunities. But that's,
I think, again, if he's going that, if he's like your seventh or eighth inning guy, we might have some bigger problems.
well, here's the thing. Like, is Ottavino going to be a lock for your eighth every game? Maybe Ottavino comes in and does sixth, seventh inning work, because Ottavino can pitch two innings.
I think.
Would you rather have Ottavino pitch two innings or Valdez pitch two innings?
I'm only letting Ottavino pitch one. I'm not letting him pitch two. You got to save his arm.
Yeah, he's up there. He's got a lot of mileage. But I think Ottavino doesn't come in earlier than the seventh for the most part. I think he is a high leverage guy. Right. And you might very well see him in the eighth inning as well fairly regularly. But we have plenty of seventh, eighth inning depth. I mean, Taylor Barnes, Hernandez, Ottavino, Brazier. I mean, they're going to find some combination between those guys that should stick, you know, barring, again, injuries or whatnot. So a guy like Valdez, he's definitely a fifth, sixth, seventh inning guy, you know, on most things. And maybe,
and they're going to need those. They are going to need those. We have no idea what's going to happen to arms a year after only throwing 80 innings max. It's unprecedented. We have no idea how many guys are going to go down, if they're going to be feeling tight. We got to skip them in the rotation. Throwing Andreese in there for four innings, and Valdez needs to give you three. And then, you know, you're just sticking some things together with duct tape. I think it's going to be a regular occurrence. And we don't know if guys are going to test positive or be within close contact. So guys are going to get their money's worth of coming out of that bullpen. That door is going to swing open a lot this year.
Also, interestingly, they're going to be deadening the baseball, or at least there's an effort this year to try to, or de-juice it, maybe is the best way to put it. But that was reported earlier in the week. I have a CBS report up, and it's actually quoting a Rosenthal report. So that could – I've been a huge critic of the baseballs, because some of these guys can't pitch to contact, and I think they need to. I think it would speed up the game a little bit, you know, to get those fly ball outs. And that could play into some of these guys' favors as well. So you won't necessarily see a lot of deep counts anymore. So hopefully for some of these middle inning guys, that'll reduce the home run rate a little bit. Kind of moving on outside of the pen, Jackie Bradley, Kevin Pillar, both, you know, with Red Sox ties. It certainly looks like we're done adding bats to the team, but it's interesting that Bradley hasn't ended up anywhere yet. And we were talking about him before we came on. And does he get onto a team at this point?
I think it's going to be Houston or San Fran at this point. I'm hoping he gets his payday. He deserves it. He was, you know, nothing but a total pro in his time in Boston, and it sucks. I really wish the Mets splurged on him, but they just gave Kevin Pillar $5 million guaranteed for 1 year and an option to make it go up to 10, which is crazy money at this time of the offseason. Can't believe he got that. $5 million for a guy that's, I mean, he's a fourth outfielder at this point. I hope Scott Boras has a little late winter magic, because, like I said, I would love for it not to be Houston, but I just want to see the guy get paid at this point.
It's going to be interesting to see what ends up happening with JBJ at this point. I mean, I'm shocked that he hasn't gotten something. I figured by now we would have seen him already playing for at least signed, you know. Oh, okay, well, it's not going to be with the Red Sox. And with every single day that passes, I'm sitting here saying maybe he does come back. You know, like we've been talking about optics with some teams and certain players and whatnot. Yankees not getting Gardner. That looks bad. With the Red Sox doing everything that they've done this year, if they don't get JBJ, that could potentially look bad. Like, you went out and you went to go get Hunter Renfroe. If the Red Sox end up not getting Jackie Bradley Jr. back on the team, and he ends up signing with another team for $3 million, or $3.5 million, that will make Boston look really bad. And if it's lower than $3.5 million, the less money he gets, the worse we look. That's how it comes right now. Because Houston's been on the market, but the fact the Mets didn't get him after they were rumored to be the team to have gotten him, that just, it continues to, just that whole situation, the optics on that looks bad. Like, they don't think he's worth $4 million, $5 million, but they think that someone who's a backup is worth $5 million. So where do all of these teams view Jackie Bradley Jr.? He was a starter. Where does he really fit now? So I don't know what's going to happen with him. I feel like I'm going to be equally surprised if he signs with Boston, if he doesn't. You know, if he comes back, I'll be like, you know what? Fans are going to be happy because it's a familiar face. He enjoys playing in Boston. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, the Giants are interesting. I haven't really heard them connected. Maybe I've seen like a tweet from one of the writers, but I just haven't seen a ton of momentum there. And their outfield, as it stands right now, Alex Dickerson, Mauricio Dubon, and Mike Yastrzemski, the latter of which is obviously a fantastic player who, it just seems so wrong to not have that name in a Red Sox uniform. But yeah, so there could be a need for Bradley in San Fran, and it's one of the least hitter-friendly ballparks. So, you know, it's pitcher-friendly, and that could be a place where Bradley would thrive, because if the balls aren't leaving, you know, there's plenty of spectacular plays for him to make. So that could certainly be a good fit. We have seen Houston connected to him throughout the offseason, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, it kind of sucks that they're going from George Springer to him, but there's still a need, and Bradley can fill that. And the interesting thing to me here, though, is Bradley was always a hot commodity on the trade market. Teams were calling about him. The Dodgers a few years ago were trying to give us Yasiel Puig for him. And, you know, I'll never want Puig unless it's a one-year deal, you know, in case it's just a crazy circus act and you want to get out of it. But Dombrowski turned that down. A year later, we were offered a one-for-one trade with the Cleveland Indians, Bradley for Encarnacion. And I kind of wanted Encarnacion because he mashes at Fenway. And I thought that would have been really fun to have him be the first baseman. But Dombrowski stuck with Bradley and didn't want any part of Encarnacion.
So I think you might be onto something. I was actually going to interrupt you a little while back. I'm glad I didn't. Dombrowski might have another opportunity here to swoop in and sign him. True. The Phillies don't really have a center fielder. Their left fielder is Andrew McCutchen, who doesn't have too much range left anymore. There's a reason he's in left field. And Bryce Harper is not a Gold Glove right fielder. So if anyone can make those two look good and cover up some warts, it could be Jackie Bradley. And D-Dom could bring back his guy, one of the few guys he wasn't able to give a ridiculous extension to at the time. So make up for lost time, give him a 2-year deal, maybe like $20 million. I wouldn't mind seeing him on the Phillies and see him at Fenway Park a few times this year.
It does make sense. I mean, Roman Quinn, obviously, he'd be a fourth outfielder on most teams, I would think. And then who knows how many games McCutchen's going to play. I mean,
you're onto something there.
Yeah, he's 34, but he's got an injury history. And, a 30-year-old Bradley sounds like a better candidate. And Bradley, I don't think has ever gone on the DL as far as I know.
I don't recall any of that.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point. You know, maybe the Phillies could be a destination for him. And I mean, I don't see why not either. You know, I think what's he going to get for a contract? I mean, it's looking like it's probably going to be in the $5 to $8 million range, if you ask me, at this point in the game.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I always feel dumb downing Scott Boras. Like, it always seems like the good old boy club comes through and, like, signs his guy at the last minute because he'll be like, listen, if you want a chance at signing, I don't know, who is next batch of free if you want a chance to sign Correa next year, you got to do me a solid here. You know, one of those you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. I can't doubt Boras yet. It looks bad, but it could happen.
It's actually kind of funny that he says that because I could totally see someone like Scott Boras doing that. I could totally see him pulling some BS like that. Like, hey, man, I know you guys need a shortstop. Someone's coming on the market in less than a year. What do you say, buddy? So, again, I already said my piece on it. If he ends up signing for less than $5 million, it's just not going to look good, especially if it's like ringing around the three range. Woo! I don't think it'll be that low, but if it does, oh man, brutal.
Another thing that comes to mind though is Dombrowski kind of had his way with Boras twice. You know, he got JD Martinez at his price after a very stressful winter, and then he got Xander Bogaerts on a team friendly deal. So I just, as much as it makes sense, and this just literally popped into my head, I just, if Dombrowski really wants Bradley, I hope there's no animosity there, you know, previously with Boras.
I think he would let bygones be bygones, because at this point he has to do right by his client, because this just looks bad. Obviously, you know, I don't blame the Red Sox, because when they were in the market for an outfielder, I guarantee Bradley's price was a lot more than it is today. So this is just one of those discounts by attrition almost. No one saw this coming.
Right. So I guess to wrap up, I just want to make one more super random observation. The Tampa Bay Rays, like, we kind of want to just discount them a little bit, but I just feel like they've got Michael Wacha now. They brought back Archer. They have Glass now. They might be adding Rich Hill to the team. Apparently they're close. What are the chances? What are the chances they win 87 this year?
I was going to say 87. Yeah, they're going to do it. It's going to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen. It's going to be so aggravating. But Rich Hill, I don't know, somehow win like 13 games in a row before he loses a thumb in some weird injury. But they're going to get some innings out of these guys. I hope they don't. But we've seen it too many times. Like Scott Boras getting a deal for his client at the last second. The Rays never go away.
I agree. And they always manage to find gold from garbage. It's like the Rays way. Like, oh, we know that you lost 26 games last year, but how would you like to win 14 next year with no lineup? We're going to make it happen. And that's, again, that's just how the Rays do things, you know? Do I see them winning 87, though? I don't know. I see them winning more than Boston.
They shouldn't win 87, but I feel like it's going to happen. And their bullpen still looks good, too. I mean, Nick Anderson, Diego Castillo, Pete Fairbanks, Ryan Thompson, John Curtis looks okay. I mean, I think Boston probably has the better bullpen at this point, but Tampa certainly does look serviceable. And, you know, they still got G-Man, Brandon Lau, Joey Wendell, Willy Adames, Randy Arozarena. It doesn't look like there's going to be any repercussions for him. In that,
yeah, he got off on that one, huh?
Yeah, he was. It was kind of a messy situation, though. So I couldn't really tell if he was the bad guy or not in that case. But yeah. So that's a team that's gonna. Yeah, and Manuel Margot. I'm kind of curious to see a full season out of him now that he kind of had a bit of a breakout. So we'll see, but. Any other thoughts before we do wrap?
No, just excited to see guys report. I think it's tomorrow, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. Hopefully everyone's got all their visa stuff cleared away and everyone gets there safe and we can get all the testing done and then just go off without a hitch. I'm so ready for this.
Yeah,
I want to get it done too. Like, I just want to see like how this happens, because either I'm going to be right, I'm going to be pissed that I'm right, or I'm going to be very wrong and I'm going to be issuing a lot of apologies. But it's not going to be anything in between. It's either going to be I was 100% right or damn near close, or I was really, really wrong or damn near close. I don't think it's going to be in the middle.
I still have them in the 76 to 79 bracket. Is where I'm putting them now, but I would love to be wrong as well. It's better for the podcast if the team is competitive, so you can damn well bet that is agreed. What I'm rooting for.
But agreed. Oh my gosh,
I just feel like you gotta align all the stars in the universe to to get to. And then the other thing too is we're looking at a normal playoff bracket, so you might have to win at least 88, you know, and maybe 90 for all I know. I know the American League isn't bad, but you are going to have some 90 plus win teams one way or the other, but we'll see. So I guess for the listening audience, it's getting harder to, come up with content now that so many players are off the board, but as developments do happen, we will be back and we could get creative with a couple of shows. And before the season does start in about 6 weeks or so, we're going to have every single host of the podcast on to give our division winners, our MVPs, and then our two World Series teams on each side. So that's a fun show when COVID doesn't ruin it, but I think we're probably in the clear this year. So we'll get that done. And hopefully everyone has a good week. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10/1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.